Hey, it's Paul Bates of greatdad.com, and I'm here with my weekly series talking to dads about all things fathers, but also I've got a pet project that is about finding meaning in later age, and I've got an expert today. Welcome, Michael Kay.
Thank you, Paul. It's really a pleasure to be here with you today.
Well, I'm really happy to talk to you because there's this confluence around getting older and fatherhood. And if we've got listeners who are, you know, more 20s, 30s, this day will happen to you at some point. And it's never a bad idea to think about some of the subjects that we're going to be talking about, because I think we'll be talking about some of the values and what fatherhood means and how that transmits into meaning in later age. And all those subjects are great at any age. So let's just jump right into it. I want to hear your personal story, because you did not start out as a coach. You did not start as a group meeting facilitator. Tell us a little bit how you've evolved in your career and your thinking.
Well, my career has been really, I might make your head spin when I share. I'll give you the big bullet points. Growing up, I was a very serious musician.
Yeah, okay.
I went to college, and when I walked away from music, I walked away and became an accountant. So I went from focused on being a performing musician to being a CPA. And after almost 10 years in practice, I joined a friend of mine in his financial services company, and he wanted me to come in and do financial planning, whatever. And I found out really fast that I was really bad at selling stuff. Over the years, this evolved into a firm I created, which is called Financial Life Focus, which is a fee-only financial life planning firm that was really focused on people's values and not selling products. And as I built the firm, one of my associates, who coincidentally enough I met while I was teaching income tax at NYU in their CFP program, and met this young man, and a year or so later comes knocking at my door looking for advice, and I wound up hiring him, and he became my succession plan. And as the years went on, he showed his great ability to take the helm, and I decided it was time for me to do something else. Uh-huh. And so much of
what age was that?
I was, let's see, I was 67.
Yeah, okay.
And leading up to this transition year where I walked away, I became a certified life coach. And because so much of financial life planning is really about asking important questions and listening and really understanding what it is for people that make them want to move in a particular direction. And you learn so much by asking really good questions and then shutting up and listening and really hearing, you know, helping people feel heard. So I felt that life coaching was something that was really of my heart, and I didn't have to talk about money, which I'd been doing for decades. And I took that on as I transitioned out of work to this stage of life, and coincidentally re-entered music after a 50-year hiatus, and have been spending my time, this Chapter X community that I created for men transitioning to life after career, and playing music and taking lessons and writing and doing my weekly podcast. And during my career, I wrote 2 books on financial life planning. And now I've turned my attention to fiction. So,
wow, that's a lot of stuff going on.
I am sure. I can guarantee one thing, Paul. I will run out of runway before I run out of things that I'm interested in.
Yeah. This interests me a lot because I just saw a video by Ray Dalio, the hedge fund manager. And he's now talking a lot more philosophically than he was about money previously, maybe because of the stage he's at in his life. Sure. But he was talking about how our life is divided into these chapters. The first one is with you taking somebody else taking care of you. And then there's a chapter in there, the large chapter, which is in your career, where you are really trying to help other people get ahead, that hoping that will help you get ahead, but you're all wound up in all the things that you have to do. And then the late stage of your life, hopefully, if you've prepared well, you have the freedom that you have to do the things that you're doing now. And he was just talking about how that is a complete shift in what the expectations are. It sounds like you really have embraced this and you're doing the things you want to. I mean, we talked a little bit before before about how these are passion projects. You're not trying to get rich off of the program you call Chapter X. You're not trying to get rich off your music career, which that would be hard at any age. But how did that shift in your mind happen? Because it sounds easy, but a lot of people waste their retirement and don't know how to get into finding what really means to them.
Right. And I'm sure you hear as well. There are so many people that are resistant to this leaving their careers behind them because they can't imagine what life is like on the other side. And one of the reasons for that is that they don't spend any time thinking about it, right? They spend very little time. It's like the people who and during my career, heard this a million times. What are you going to do when you retire? I'm going to play golf. And then that, pregnant pause just sits there in the room and, this just sits there. And I would just ask them, really? Anything else? No, I just want to play golf. Okay. 365 days a year? Okay. It's like there's a limitation of, there's a limitation on imagination. And I think one of the biggest obstacles is when people go from the pinnacle of their career to this next chapter, they go from mastery to novice, right? And that's can be a hard pill to swallow for people who are used to being in charge, people who are used to, getting their strokes from, external sources,
Subordinates from vendors.
from clients, from staff, from whatever. And now all of a sudden it's like, okay, you're no longer part of this organization, whether you work for corporate America, whether you're an attorney, a doctor, whatever. It's you have to kind of pilot out something new. I think another big obstacle is that we are taught, at least in the baby boom generation, to be independent. The importance of being independent, strong. You have to, you're going to climb over other bodies to get to the top. And what's missing from that whole idea is we need to be interdependent, not independent. Now, especially going into this chapter of life where you might have limitations, right? You might have challenges. And if you're just going to sit and say, I am just independent, I am my own little island. It doesn't make for a very satisfying time of life. I was speaking with one gentleman who I know who was telling me about a neighbor of his who is an attorney who just sits in the house and watches TV all day. I said, "Could I, would he be willing to speak to me? Maybe, get him into a conversation." He said, "No, he's just that's where he is." And I said, "Okay,
Yeah,
I
well,
feel."
we've talked about this before. That in fact, I had a whole session about letting the old man in, and the temptation in older life, especially if you don't have a career and you don't have people telling you what to do, is to just opt out of everything because it is more comfortable in the chair and having stuff fed into you rather than going out in the world and doing things. But it is a challenge. I mean, we know that older men suffer from depression and loneliness in huge numbers, and so what you're saying. It's not just a choice between comfort and discomfort, but it's a choice between some version of happiness or fulfillment and just, lying in the couch, which is, once you think about it that way, it sounds pretty sad.
But we need to have the courage to create a value, I'm not saying a vision for what are the possibilities and taking on the idea that there is no failure. Right? You
Yeah,
can
at
try
this point,
something, right? You can try something, and then if you don't like it, don't do it again. When I started playing music again, I joined a local community orchestra, and I went to the first rehearsal. I didn't come away feeling great about it. I said, all right, let me go to a second rehearsal. I went to the second rehearsal, and I didn't feel any different. I didn't care for the people that were around. It was just not a welcoming situation. I didn't feel, I called the guy who set it up. I said, thanks anyway. Thanks, but no thanks. And he tried to talk me out of it. I'm saying, look, I'm not spending my time doing things that make me unhappy. I'm playing with an adult big band and having the time of my life.
Yeah.
Why should I sit in rehearsal with a bunch of people who are a bunch of cranks? It just didn't make any sense to me.
Well,
So,
but that's an interesting thing in itself. In coaching, sometimes we talk about blameless discernment and being able to distinguish between, am I not going to the rehearsal because I'm just too bored and lazy and not happy that I just skip out on this and many other opportunities? Or like you did, you took an inventory and you said, this isn't about not liking music, or this is not about not wanting to get out on a Tuesday night and do practice. It's about that group, that music, that thing. And I'm not going to do that because I don't have to.
Exactly. It's not like, the guy who's got to, go every day to the job that he hates because he has to put food on the table. And the idea is, I think everything that we do should come with a level of joyfulness about it.
Yeah.
And a matter of wonder. What is this new thing? What can I learn from this? What can I get from this? How can I help someone else? I do a little bit of volunteer work helping people who have difficulty paying their bills and things like that, and helping them write their checks out or whatever, and being a bit of a companion for some people. And that to me is joyful, and that to me is something that aligns with my heart. I can do it in my sleep, but other people are struggling. And if I can help them and spend an hour with them just talking, I leave the better for it. But you also have to know what's right for you. I was asked to participate in a program that required me to participate every week, one evening for 2 hours for a year, period. And I said, sorry.
Yeah.
As much as I thought the program was fantastic, I wouldn't do it. It was just too much of a commitment. So I think the idea is to experiment, try things, but go in with the mindset that let's see what this is about.
Yeah.
Let's see if this is for me.
Yeah, I think one thing that holds a lot of us back too is a comparison with other people and with younger people. I was thinking last night, I was just thinking of this thought experiment, and let me try this on you and see whether you think this has any value or not. If you could imagine yourself at an advanced age, let's say just say 65, the average or the retirement age, and you're starting at 65 with like an 18 years of experience. So like everybody else is getting out of basically high school at 65. And we're all 65. We're all feeling same feelings of, fatigue and not as much energy. We don't have that youthful enthusiasm, but we're all 65. We're all competing or looking at each other as 65-year-olds with 18 years of experience. What would you do in that case if you didn't have to compare yourself to 30-year-olds? Would that change the way you choose to do things? Because you might say, hey, if I'm comparing myself to other people with 18 years of experience at my age, why not start a career in music? Why not do anything? I mean, we limit ourselves, I think, too much because we think I'm too old.
Right.
Yeah, that's real. That's real.
Oh, but yeah. Yeah, I think, listen, there are certain things. I've given up on the idea that I can play first base for the Yankees. Oh,
yeah,
well.
But if right? you, but in my thought experiment, if everybody else was trying out for third base for the Yankees, you might be a good candidate. And if that brings you joy, obviously you're not going to make it to the Yankees, but you could get into a little bit of baseball.
I think the idea is what's right for you.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. My son is a runner. And when he was in high school, he ran cross country. He could jump up on a chin-up bar and pump out 50 chin-ups, nothing. I've never been a runner. I can lift some heavy weight based on my age, but I can't compare myself to him. And he can't compare himself to me.
Right.
So the idea is you be you, you do you, you do the things that bring you joy, that light you up. It needs courage and it needs honesty. Why am I trying this? Well, because I've never done it before. I want to see if it's something that is interesting to me. Or whose life can I enrich besides my own that makes my life better? How can I help others? What message can I share? What activities can I do that bring a little bit of light to the world, to my world and to others? So it really is a matter, I think, of, what do you value? Some people, I met this guy, my wife and I were on vacation, and we started talking, and he was newly retired. And, what do you do? In retirement, he plays golf. And I said, that's wonderful. And he says, and he is really into cars, fixing up cars and things like that. And I said, well, do you have a plan B? I said, what if you can't play golf? What's going to, are, you know, what are you going to do with your life that's meaningful? And he looked at me like the deer in the headlights, like, I don't have a plan B. I said, well, it's worthy thinking about. What is this wide area of things that might be interesting to me? And use that word might. Doesn't have to be, because we go in with the mindset, especially when we go in with this mastery mindset, and here we are novices. Well, everything looks like a fail from there. But think about it this way. When we first enter that workforce, we are novices, and we are excited, and we are engaged, and we are ex we're looking forward to what we can learn and how we can grow and how we can become that next stage along the path. And I think this is the same idea, is to recapture that level of wonder and excitement and energy of what this next chapter can be for us.
Yeah, we're lucky. We live in a world where the access to those sources of wonderment are far more available than ever before. It's
For
amazing.
sure.
So, what
Absolutely.
in your group, the Chapter X, where you meet monthly, do you have any younger members? I'm just wondering if, whether you have advice to people who are maybe, late 50s, early 60s, and they're thinking about things. Do you think you suggest, for example, like doing an inventory of your passions and your interests and starting to think through these things?
Well, I would say most of the people in Chapter X are older. I've had some people come in who retired early and they're really struggling. But that idea of taking an inventory should start as soon as possible. I'm big on writing stuff down. Get a journal book, write down your thoughts. Is there a place you want to travel to? You want to climb Mount Kilimanjaro? Well, what does that take? What are the aspects of that? Why is that important to you? And what are you willing to do to get there? Right? And I just start gathering information, create a what I call a mind map of aspects of your life that you're curious about. You want to investigate. What are the things that you don't know? What do you know? What don't you know? What would you like to know more about? I hear all the time of different people who are taking courses that they're interested in, of going on different adventures, of doing different things in life that they've never done before. And the level of wonderment and joy is just
Yeah,
fantastic.
I have a good friend who just got he's just getting his PhD at 65. I mean, he was a marketing guy and now he's a historian, following his
Wow.
passions. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some people see barriers and some people see obstacles and some people see possibilities. And it's the whole mindset thing. Are you have a growth mindset or not? If you see all the negative aspects of things, your chances of blossoming are really smaller. If you have that growth mindset, then you look at possibilities and how does that fit in the framework of your life? How's your health? Your financial life, the other aspects of your life. So it really is, what is your mindset? How does it equate with your values? And have you piloted out a mapped out a plan how to get there?
Yeah. I think a lot of people stop themselves too with this the idea they just say, I'm too old, as if the your life is over at 60 or 70, and then they never think about like what would you do? Like if you're going to get a PhD in history, you're not getting a PhD in history so that you can be a professor and do all the things that you would do had you gotten your PhD at 30. So instead, you go to that thinking, I'm doing a PhD because I want to do that study. I want to accomplish this thing. I want the joy of learning about this subject. And it's a, like you say, it's a completely different mind shift because you're not thinking of the financial ramifications and tied to something.
You're not seeing this as a piece of the puzzle for your career. You're seeing it as something that is immensely important to your heart, right? To your soul, is to doing something that fills you.
Yes,
And
you're not investing time. Maybe that's the difference in like I'm investing time to get a result versus I'm, I don't know, spending time or using time to find joy. I'm finding joy through the time. I'm lacking a framework here, but there is a difference.
I have a friend of mine who is in his 80s. He's still a downhill skier. And his wife doesn't go downhill, so they go snowshoeing, but they go dancing, they go ice skating. He's super physically active, and he engages in discussions, political discussions, book discussions. He is a role model to me. So it's that whole idea of, do you see possibilities or do you see obstacles?
I think it is. I think it is important to have role models, not as something that you're jealous of or spiteful because he is driven that way. If he's driven that way out of joy, but be inspired to the fact, like, no, go out and do something today because you can. You're still alive. You're still vibrant, and you're maybe slowing down some ways, but you've still got a lot to give or a lot to do.
Yeah, for sure. There's always something else that we can add on to our level of, I'll use the word humanness, of our how we express ourselves in the world for ourselves and for others. And I think if there's anything that we learn through our lifetime is that, or we should learn, is that it's not all about us, right? I mean, we learn that, I think, the minute that our first child is born. Right. I think that the bell goes off and says, maybe I'm not so, maybe, I'm not the center of the universe anymore. And I think that's an important lesson along the way of who are we, what's our purpose, and how do we bring ourselves fully to each experience? How do we deal with failure? How do we deal with, being knocked on our butts and having to get up again and using that to work our resilience muscle to be prepared for the next time that we have challenges, because we're going to have lots of them.
Through old age as well. I mean, that's part of what I don't know if this if you get into this in your groups, but in the back of my mind is a preparation that creating a community around finding meaning will solidify a group of men who then will be able to relate to each other when the inevitable loss and grief occurs, whether it's a personal tragedy where you get sick or your spouse gets sick or all the things that will happen to us in this later chapter are both they're both challenges and dramatically sad, but they're also part of the human experience. Is that part of what you do in Chapter X?
Absolutely. It's, listen, we are all going to die. We don't have a date certain. So, I remember several years ago, I interviewed someone for my podcast, and he used a great expression. He says, we have a date that we were born and a day that we die. It's what we do in the dash that's important. Right, in between those two dates. And I thought that was just so elegantly stated that, we're given a certain amount of time to become more than who we started out to be. And we're going to get roughed up along the way. Life is messy. And, I just got off the phone before we started with a friend of mine who lost his wife a week ago. And, he's bleeding from the heart, And the important thing is for me to be there with him and for him. And this is the second person in not a long period of time who's lost their spouse, and this is all part of it.
Yeah, and it's important to look at that too as you get older, is whether the people who are your drinking buddies are the people you will turn to in those moments of grief. Is there a group of people with whom you have been able to share enough of your feelings so that when the inevitable happens, somebody doesn't just send a card, they can kind of walk alongside you for a while. And that's something that weighs very heavily on me, knowing, like you say, the inevitable happens.
And we can duck our head into the sand only for so long before reality smacks us over the head with a 2x4.
Hopefully that's not the way I go, but so at your website, michaelfk.com, we'll put that in the show notes so people are sure to be able to find it. You have your podcast, you have blog, you say you're a very prodigious writer. You're writing 2 or 3 articles a week. That's fantastic. And you do some coaching services, but I imagine that's kind of whether that interests you, whether that you find the subject matter interesting. And then there's the link to Chapter X.
Right. Yeah. I as I said, I do coaching when it's the right situation. I've done workshops. I've done speaking to groups. And to me, those are the things that bring me joy. And if I can help someone by coaching them and they see the need and that's fine. As I said, I'm not out there beating the bushes to say, okay, I'm going to build a big coaching clientele, because that's, if I can help people, great. If people come to my door, it's really hard for me to say no to anybody. That's a lesson that is a hard fought one for me. But the idea is, how can I help? I start every conversation that way. How can I help? And that's the way I've been throughout my career. And so those values of giving service to others is really important to me. I say the same thing to my children. How can I help?
Is there an application to join Chapter X, or are there any requirements?
No, there's just a sign up if you want to receive the blogs and the notifications. There's no cost for the community. This is purely my passion. And I've had some amazing guests, way better than I probably deserve. But, I was gifted from above somewhere with some amazing people. And I've had a lot of experts, medical, physical, but the best stories are from men who have experienced their transition into what I call Chapter X. And I had one guy who was a nuclear submarine commander. Someone who was a Vietnam War helicopter pilot. I've had amazing authors and just people who've lived their lives, whether they did sales or they did marketing. One guy who started this was pretty recent. He was in a family business, a produce business, and he decided to go to law school and became an attorney. And now he's devotes his time to working with nonprofits and helping in certain courses that he's aligned with. So I've been blessed with some amazing guests, and I just love those stories. I think that when we share stories with each other, we touch each other in different ways and we walk away better for it.
Yeah. It's an awkward thing for men, but it's really important to have those experiences. So I always end these podcasts with a couple questions. And the first one is whether you have some advice for younger men, young dads with kids going through that part of the experience.
I've always said that, one of the tools you need to be a good parent, and one of them is a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And that not everything is a 10, right? In the scale of 1 to 10, not everything reaches the level of a 10.
Yeah. Not everything is a disaster. Not everything's the end of the world.
Right. Exactly.
It's not the end of anything.
Exactly. And I think, when you take a deep breath, I was very fortunate and blessed that, I learned certain things from my father that were really helpful. I also learned some things from him that were not quite so helpful that I did not incorporate into how I helped raise my children. Mm-hmm. And, I think as a young dad, it's put your head down and good luck, because no one comes in skilled at this. And, everyone has an opinion, and the idea is, you and your spouse need to be on the same page and need to talk and need to have time together to, you know, create that which you're trying to do in raising your children. And then you need a sense of humor. You know, you need to say, boy, I really blew that one. I remember telling my kids, listen, I might not, this is my decision, and I might be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, because I grew up in a household where my father was never wrong.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things I told my kids. I said, this is my decision. Maybe it'll turn out it's the wrong one, but it's the one I'm making. So I wanted them to know that I'm not foolproof. I'm not, that's my two cents for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then the other question is, do you have a challenge for men, maybe men, older men, for the coming week, just to give some thought to, or to put in practice something that you would advise them to try?
I would offer that all your listeners in the coming week, take some time without the phone, without the ear pods, without anything, and just ponder something. Take time to go for a walk or spend some time in just thinking about something that's important to you.
Yeah.
You know, turn off the computer, turn off the TV, and just spend time with your thoughts. We spend so much time doing. We don't spend so much time being. We become human doings instead of human beings. And we want to spend some time just being with ourselves, with our thoughts, with our humanness, and not this constant go. So in the coming weeks, I challenge you to take some time for yourself, just to be, just to allow the thoughts.
And is there a trick to doing that? I mean, I do some work with positive intelligence and trying to stop the negative thoughts. But how do you have an advice for how to, like, to do this meaningfully so that you're not, you don't get caught away with all, you know, all those other voices? And you advise, like, choosing a subject for yourself to think on, or meditation practice? How?
I think, well, meditation practice is, I think, is ideal. The other is to go in with an intention. My intention is to take the next 30 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever it is that you can cut out to just breathe and just watch my thoughts, or to take a walk and notice everything. Notice how my feet feel hitting the ground. Notice what the trees look like, the sounds around you. Get out of your head and get into your body.
Yeah.
You know, listen to your body. The head will lie to you every minute of the day. That your head will absolutely tell you nonsense from morning till night. Your body doesn't lie. So allow the thoughts to allow yourself to be with your body in something that you do, even if it's just sitting and thinking. But take a walk. I don't. You can be on the treadmill and just be in your body and just breathe and just chase away the thoughts and see what happens.
Yeah, that's good advice. I do a class on positive intelligence, which helps you awaken to those negative thoughts and then try to let them go, which you can find at greatdad.com/BQ, by the way, because I'm always trying to fill my pods of men getting together. But like you, I do a lot of this for my own, you know, selfishly for my own evolution, as well as kind of like giving back and helping other men. Well, this has really been an interesting conversation, Michael. I'm always fascinated talking to men who are thinking about this rather than letting it happen to them, because I think that's kind of the way it's been for years and years. And we didn't live as long as we do now, but you and I may be around here, you know, for another 30 years. So you thinking about it intentionally, trying to organize your thoughts, organize your plan, it's all really important.
Absolutely true. And I just say, you know, the work that you're doing is wonderful. It's a beacon in the world for whoever comes, you know, into your light. So
I think you and I both probably share the same feeling, is that we're creating a place for people to have these conversations, which doesn't really usually exist. So good on you as well. Okay. BaldManIsn'tGreatDad.com. You can find my course, which may I'll rebrand, or maybe you can license a Chapter X version for me, but I've called mine Finding Meaning After 55, and you can find that at greatdad.com/meaning. Okay. Great. Everybody, spend the next week thinking like Michael said, about something that's important to you. And I always end with, hold your kids close. It doesn't last very long, and you'll never regret every moment you get to spend with them. Okay. Till next time. Take care.